Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 84.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and guests are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Lambeth. We ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Lambeth.
Good morning, and what a wonderful day we have to be in North Carolina, to be in Raleigh, North Carolina. If you would join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts, thanking you for another day, for family, for friends and colleagues, for health, for our freedoms, for all who serve to protect us. We again pray for our nation's leaders and ask for your guidance and wisdom. We ask that you bring comfort and healing to those struggling with illness, those without refuge. Continue to remind us that we are here, not by chance, but because others place their trust in us. May we serve not to disappoint, but to make better the lives of all our constituents. In the words of St. Francis, make each of us instruments of your peace. Open our eyes that we may more clearly see the needs of others and respond. And may our actions be grounded by humility and concern. In your name we pray, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for June 23rd has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Hall moves the journal for June 23rd be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Ratification of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
The Royal Clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. House Bill 344, an act to clarify the process in which the local governmental unit will impose or collect systems development fees and provide that the water and wastewater public utilities, solar responsible income taxes due on taxable contributions in aid of construction. House Bill 383, an act to revise the Hospital Assessment Act to account for Medicaid transformation. House Bill 734, an act making technical conforming and other modifications to laws pertaining to the development of health and human services protecting North Carolina citizens from unlicensed operations of health facilities, programs providing services requirement license under Article 2 of Chapter 122C of the General Statutes to modifying the Consumer and Family Advisory Committees.
Chapter bills will be noted. Representatives Bradford, Setzer, Soka, Kidwell, and Ray are recognized to send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Bradford, Setzer, Soka, Kidwell, and Ray, Finance Committee report. House Bill 911, Regulatory Reform 2.0, favor and refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Bills referred to rules.
Senate Bill 188, Board of Architects, Interior Design, favor and refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Bills referred to rules.
Senate Bill 122, Town of Spruce Pines, Deannexation, favor House Committee Substitute, unfavor raise the bill and refer to local government.
The original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. As to the House Committee Substitute, the Chair is going to rule this is material. Chair is also going to strike the re-referral to local government, and the bill is going to be referred to the Committee on Rules. Representative Hall recognized send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Hall, Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House Committee report. Senate Bill 605, North Carolina Farm Act 2021, favorable.
Calendar, and without objection, day's calendar. It's ordered. Representatives Bradford, Setzer, Soka, Kidwell, and Ray recognized send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Bradford, Setzer, Soka, Kidwell, and Ray, Finance Committee report. House Bill 619, Alcohol Beverage Manufacturer Sales Exemption. Favor committee substitute, unfavorable raise the bill, and refer it to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitutes refer to rules.
Senate Bill 41, remove certain satellite annexation caps, favor of House Committee Substitute, unfavor of Senate Committee Substitute, number 2, and refer to local government.
Senate Committee Substitute number 2 is placed on the unfavorable calendar. House Committee Substitute, Chair's going to rule that material. That referral to local government is also going to be stricken, and that bill is going to be referred to the Rules Committee. Message from the Senate, the clerk will read.
House Bill 335, Senate Committee Substitute, 6th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to revise requirements regarding the transfer of funds from a local school administrative unit to a charter school and incentivize timely transfer of funds for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute.
Calendar for today.
House Bill 602, Senate Committee Substitute, 5th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to make changes to the laws governing the University of North Carolina to exempt finance, business office, and auditor professionals from most provisions of the North Carolina Human Resources Act to consolidate and eliminate certain reports, to codify capital projects reporting requirements, and to provide the University of North Carolina flexibility to address budgetary and other impacts of COVID-19 through early retirement incentives and the reduction of force approval authority and the authority to provide state health plan premium payments for certain employees placed on emergency temporary furloughs for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute.
Calendar for today. Members, on motion of the gentleman from Franklin County, Representative Winslow, the chair is especially honored to extend the courtesy of the gallery today to his wife, Marquita, who is a past elementary school teacher, a homemaker, and this is interesting, a best-selling New York Times and USA Today writer. Would you please stand so we could welcome you, and thank you for being with us. Thanks for being with us today. Calendar. Senate Bill 126, the clerk will read.
Senators Sawyer and Perry, Senate Bill 126, a bill to be entitled an act to abolish absolute board or commission that is no longer functional as to make other changes to Board of Commissions. General Assembly of North Carolina.
Actually, we're going to temporarily displace this bill. Senate Bill 450, the clerk will read.
Senators Lee, Ballard, and Barnes, Senate Bill 450, a bill to be entitled Various Education Changes, General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, would the gentleman like to go ahead and explain the bill first?
We could take the amendment first, Mr. Speaker.
I can do that. Then I'll need to recognize Representative Elmore to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Elmore moves to amend the bill on page 1, lines 2 through 3 by rewriting the lines to read.
Gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As this moved through committee, from my understanding from the senator that developed the language, is this was like a project for students to come up with a bill, and they came up with this bill. But it's a little bit different than naming, you know, like the state mammal or something of this that nature. This does have a mandate which would have some sort of cost associated with it, and we do not have a handle on what that cost would be. We asked staff to just give us a guesstimation, and we got a worst case scenario that this could possibly cost $53 million, and we don't know who would pay for it, how it would be paid, etc. So what this amendment would do is take the section dealing with the carbon monoxide and turn that into a study to where we can actually figure out how many we need, where they need to go, what the cost is, and determine how we can fund this or who needs to fund it. So I'd appreciate your support on the amendment.
For what purpose, gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett rise.
Speak on the amendment, Mr.
Chairman. Gentleman has the floor.
We would ask that all members vote green on the amendment.
Further discussion or debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment's adopted. Representative Torbett is now recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, with the new adopted amendment, it simply would require a study to look at providing those carbon monoxide detectors in those schools that just don't have them, the older schools. Of course, newer schools are mandated under the construction to go ahead and have them added. And as Representative Elmore said, a rough estimate on a high-end cost is $53 million. We need to look at that and just make sure that what we're doing is the right thing, and we have money to put in place for that. Also under the bill, House Bill 450, is testing requirements. We changed requirements for all non-public school testing in grade 9 to allow tests that measured either achievement in the areas of English, grammar, reading, spelling, and mathematics, or competencies in the verbal and quantitative areas. For non-public schools required to administer annual testing to opportunity scholarship recipients, the PCS would require, testing in grades 3 through 8 that measures achievement in the areas of English, grammar, reading, spelling, and mathematics, and testing in grades 9 through 12 that measures either achievement in the areas of English, grammar, reading, spelling, and mathematics, or competencies in the verbal and quantitative areas. This section would apply beginning with the school years 2021-2022. Also, providing water sewer to approved charter schools would require a municipality to provide water, sewer, or water and sewer services to any property owned or leased for use as a charter school facility for an approved charter school upon request of the property owner if the following requirements are met. The municipality has available capacity in the requested service or services. The property owner agrees in writing to the requirements contained in the utility extension agreement established by the municipal governing board. And the property agrees payment of all costs for extending the requested services. For property not located in the municipal limits, the owner of the charter property would also petition for annexation. The municipality would be required to grant the petition if the charter property was otherwise eligible for annexation under the statutes providing for voluntary annexation of contiguous or non-contiguous territory. Except as otherwise provided, the bill, of course, would become effective when it becomes law. I stand for any questions, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, the gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, rise?
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, two ninth grade girls from New Hanover High School, Carolyn Morrison and Lucy Dimock, participated in the YMCA Youth and Government Conference last year. They were concerned that the carbon monoxide detectors were not in schools built before 2016, so they introduced a bill during that conference to make sure that every classroom that needs one bill have a carbon monoxide detector. And the portion of the bill that we are addressing today is exactly what those young ladies passed during that conference. So I ask you to please support the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 450 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representatives Robertson, Hawkins, Hurley, wish to vote on the bill? Representative Hurley, would you like to vote on the bill? Is that green button or red button? Which one?
I have the amendment.
Representative Hawkins on the floor? Okay. Representative Dahl? I saw Representative Dahl a minute ago. Red or green, either one. You got folks voting all the ways around you there. Just put your one. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 92 having voted in the affirmative, 14 in the negative. Senate Bill 450 passed the second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 450 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 450 having passed third reading is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate.
We can go back to Senate Bill 126. The bill has already been read. There is an amendment that Representative Hurley filed, so Representative Hurley is recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Hurley moves to amend the bill on page 10, lines 10 through 11, by inserting the following between those lines.
Representative Hurley is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, the College Board, Community College Board, it adds a Secretary of Labor to the board. It also shortens the terms from 6 years to 4 years, and then each chamber is responsible for our own elections, no longer by joint resolution. And it adds the word or designee to the community college seat, UNC system seat, ECU seat, Department of Ag seat, and Department of Commerce seat. This change was requested by the UNC system, and the Global Park Authority is technical. I'd appreciate your support. Thank you.
Further discussion or further debate on the amendment? If not, for what purpose, the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise.
It might be as to the general bill, not the amendment, so I withdraw it. I'll wait till the general bill's up. Ask my question. Thank you.
Sure. Question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment's adopted. We're now on the bill. Representative Torbett, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you. Other than what we just modified the bill, House Bill 126 simply repeals or sunsets various boards that no longer meet. Move for adoption.
What purpose, gentlemen from Wake? Representative Jones, rise.
Now I can ask my question. I'm curious to know.
Who's the question to?
To Mr. Torbett.
Representative Torbett, does the gentleman yield to a question?
Absolutely.
He yields. You recognize Representative Jones.
Thank you, sir. Do you know how a council or a board got on this list and who put this list together?
I'm sorry, which one, sir?
I said, do you know how you get on this list? Who decided these boards are obsolete?
Yes, sir. Actually, there's a staff that works for the speaker that goes through and analyzes this regularly. And this is pretty much housekeeping. We do it about every session.
Okay. So may I follow up? Another question?
He is.
Okay. Did this go through a particular committee?
Yes, it did go through a particular committee. I actually presented it. I don't remember which committee I presented it in, actually, but I did present it in a committee. There's been so many committees this week. Yes, sir, it did.
Because, may I ask another question? Follow up? Okay.
Gentleman Reels, heels.
Okay. One commission on there is a legislative commission on methamphetamine abuse, and I think there's a lot of that around still, and I'm just curious why.
Yes, sir. I would assure you that this is ones that just really haven't met, but there's also other advocacy groups out there that do similar or perhaps better than what these groups might have done, especially if you're not meeting. So we'll focus on the ones that are doing great, wonderful things for people in North Carolina.
Thank you very much.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To debate the bill.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, and continuing on the theme that I addressed yesterday, protecting the workers of the state, this bill eliminates the Farm Workers Council. And I think this is the third time it's been attempted to eliminate the Farm Workers Council. And I'll just say I think that maybe it hasn't met, but it does perform an important role of protecting farm workers living, working, and related problems affecting their work. Other matters related to farm worker activities in the state, and I just think that the role that this council commission plays is important, and I'm uncomfortable voting to remove it from our statutes because I think that at some point they will need to meet. Thank you.
For what purpose, Jim from Gaston? Representative Torbett, rise.
Speak briefly again on the bill, sir.
Gentleman has the floor.
I just reiterate that House Bill 126 simply repeals or sunsets those many various boards that just simply no longer meet. And if issues arise that this body needs to address by appointing a commission in the future, I think we would have no problem doing so. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate on the bill? If not, question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 126 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Candy Smith wish to vote on the bill? Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 77, having voted in the affirmative and 30 in the negative. Senate Bill 126 passed the second reading without objection. Will be read third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacted.
Question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 126 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 126, having passed third readings, ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 594, the clerk will read.
Senators Collard, Bergen, and Perry, Senate Bill 594, a bill to be entitled Medicaid Administrative Changes and Technical Corrections, General Assembly of North Carolina enacted.
Let's take these amendments up first. Representative Baker is recognized, first of all, to send forth Amendment ATR 16. The clerk will read.
President Baker moves to amend the bill on page 7, lines 4 through 5, by inserting between the lines.
Ladies recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, members. So this first amendment relates to the part of the bill that addresses Medicaid transformation. As you all know, it's coming up July 1st. And specifically, it is the part in which behavioral health services are delivered through the standard plans, which are going active. And so adding peer support services is really just an attempt to enhance continuity of care for patients as we go through Medicaid transformation. So I'm happy to stand for questions and appreciate your support.
Any further discussion or debate on that amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will say aye. He's now recognized to send forth Amendment ATR 17. The clerk will read.
Representative Baker moves to amend the bill on page 8, lines 22 through 26 by rewriting the lines to read.
Representative Baker has the floor to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, this is simply a technical change. It's changing the date. It's better for patients, and all stakeholders agree, and I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Any further discussion or debate on this amendment? If not, the question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A2. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment's adopted. Representative Baker now has the floor to debate the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill, again, is simply to provide continuity as we go forward, mostly with these Medicaid changes and Medicaid transformation. It's primarily put forth by the department. It's been vetted by all stakeholders. There may be a few tweaks as we go forward into next week, but with the July 1st date heading to us next week, we just wanted to go ahead and get these things solidified, again, in the best interest of all the citizens that are impacted. Happy to take any questions.
Further discussion, further debate on the bill? Not the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 594 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 107, having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Senate Bill 594 passed the second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacted.
Question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 594 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 594, having passed third readings, ordered engrossed and returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 605, the clerk will read.
Senators Jackson, Sanderson, and Edwards, Senate Bill 605, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes to the laws concerning agriculture and forestry. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, recognized to debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, I just became aware of an amendment that I just understood was passed. I don't know if you want to consider it first or not.
If gentlemen would like to go ahead and just debate the bill, that's fine. Then I'll come back to you to debate the amendment.
I'd like to handle the amendment now.
If you want, very well, we can do that. Representative Smith is recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Smith moves to amend the bill on page 9, lines 33 through page 12, lines 29, by deleting those lines.
Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Smith is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise today to amend this bill because I represent a rural district here in the state of North Carolina. And the district that I represent has spoken to me on a number of occasions with regard to their concerns about this blanket biogas permitting, this permitting procedure. This is a very egregious part of the bill that I think is not necessary at this particular point in time. There's no need for a general permit. The permitting process as it stands works just fine. Each individual that is applying for a permit has the opportunity to go through the permitting process on an individual basis, on a farm-by-farm basis. This general permit just takes it to another level that's just absolutely not necessary this time. And as we all know, these hog farms are typically in the African American communities in our state. These are low wealth districts, and they have the will to fight, but they just don't have the support. And I just think this body would do the right, by doing the right thing, by removing this provision from the bill, would be the right thing to do. And let's revisit this at some other time later. But at the end of the day, what we need to be focusing on is taking some of our state resources and providing some technical solutions to this issue. Hog waste, I know, is a major issue, but we can certainly find a technological solution to this. And I think that this is where we need to spend our time, our capital, and our resources. So I would appreciate your support for this amendment so that we can move on and pass this farm bill. Thank you.
What purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To debate the amendment.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, yesterday I told the sponsor of the bill and the Interior Dixon that I thought I could support this bill with this provision in it, but then I spent the last 24 hours doing a deep dive into the policy and talking to individuals who live near these facilities and generally studying the literature of the health impacts of these facilities and on neighbors and on our water quality and our air quality. I thought it made sense to put a tarp on a lagoon and capture that methane, which is 90 times more powerful than carbon emissions and significant impact on greenhouse gas emissions in our state, a real problem. I thought that made sense, and then I started to understand what that really actually meant in implementation, that we're talking about potential pipelines, gathering lines that are going to gather this methane and go to a facility someplace that is not going to be regulated by DEQ. They only have regulatory authority over the construction of these pipelines. We have the potential for methane leakage, potential explosions. These are located in floodplains, so we're going to have, you know, continued hurricanes and flooding and other adverse weather events, which are only going to get worse thanks to climate change. So that's a problem to me. So I started out thinking, wow, this is really great. Let's capture that methane. Let's send it in the gathering line. Let's power whatever we're going to power with renewable energy, but that's really not quite the case. So just to be more specific about what's going on with the hog industry in our state, and full disclosure, I have family in the hog farming business, and we do get along, so this is not about them. So, we were not regulating hog farms really much at all until 1996 when we had the Swine Farm Permit Siting Act, and that was, if you all remember, co-speaker Richard Morgan, there was a hog farm moving into Southern Pines, which he wasn't too happy about. So we finally put in place some protections, and there were protections put in place for the siting of these lagoons and facilities near schools, churches, homes. This bill would erode that because of a modification that was made to our law last year. Also, in 2007, Senator Albertson, down there from Duplin, Sampson County, championed the performance standards, which finally set up some standards for these hog lagoon and spray field systems, where you actually had to put protections in place to protect the water quality, protect the air quality, and protect these neighbors from flies, odor, water contamination, air quality problems. I've visited this area. We've got individuals who can't open their windows. They have hog feces getting sprayed onto their laundry, and life is generally miserable. They can't afford to move because these are often put in low-income communities, communities of color. And this is a situation that is going to be perpetuated by this provision in this bill, because we are establishing a general permit that doesn't allow for site-specific reviews. It actually doesn't allow for water quality considerations or air quality considerations. This proposal will concentrate the toxins and contaminants that are in hog waste And we have heard about problems with arsenic, ammonia, nitrates. And this is not going to be part of the general permitting process. We have a problem with the fact that if I read the bill right, that the general permits will be deemed permitted in 90 days if DEQ doesn't act. And if y'all looked at DEQ's budget over the years, it continues to be slashed, and we don't have the funding for the staffing to oversee these programs. So if they don't get to the permit within 90 days, it's going to be deemed permitted regardless of the impact on the area, which I think is a huge problem. I think, we know that the biogas can exacerbate water quality and air quality problems, and this will not be taken care of by a general permit. I I've got a long list of problems that are with this particular provision in the bill. I want to vote for Farm Act more than anybody. I know agriculture is really important to our state, but there are so many problems associated with this particular program that is not going to get the oversight, the review, the protections, and these are North Carolinians who are going to be negatively impacted, and our natural resources are going to be permanently negatively impacted, because once we have these facilities in place and the investments that go into these, they're not going to be removed. And we know, yes, removing methane is really important towards achieving greenhouse gas emission reduction. But I don't even think this is going to happen, because we don't know. We're going to have, these pipelines are going to be in areas that are particularly vulnerable. And as I said, we might have leaks, explosions. So we're going to have maybe even more methane than we have before. We've got to do something about the Laguna Springfield system. For the past 15 years, I think, or maybe even 20. No, I've only been here 17. 15 years, I've been working to close down the hog lagoons, because this is a flawed technology that we need to fix in this state. And this bill does not do it. And I urge you to vote yes on the amendment. And if this amendment doesn't pass, no on the bill, because I don't want you all to have to listen to me again. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, rise?
To see if Representative Harrison will yield to a series of questions.
Representative Harrison, the lady yield to a series of questions?
With some trepidation.
She yields.
Thank you. Representative Harrison, you mentioned that you talked to several people from Sampson County. Would you be kind enough to give me the names and addresses, particularly those who told you and showed you, and the places that you've been an eyewitness to hog feces being sprayed on somebody's home?
I am uncomfortable doing names without permission, but I have actually visited those farms and talked to those neighbors. Yes, sir. I can discuss that privately with you, but I'm not comfortable giving out names without their permission.
Maybe we could share that. You mentioned greenhouse gases, correct?
Yes, sir.
What percentage of total greenhouse emissions is attributed to all of agriculture?
Well, I don't know the exact percentage, but I actually know that it's lower than a lot of the other problems that we have, transportation, buildings, power production. But I think this bill is being promoted as a clean energy bill, and I just wanted to make the distinction that maybe it wasn't as clean as the clean energy billing that it is getting. That was my point.
If I listened to your statement carefully, it was very expertly put together. And I would think that anybody as versed in environmental issues as you are, and over the years with the great experience that you've had, I would think that you would know agriculture's total contribution to greenhouse emissions. Do you or do you not know?
Mr. Speaker, point of order.
Representative Martin, recognized status, point of order.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mason's section 114 suggests that when a member is questioning another member of the body, the purpose of the question is to obtain information and not to supply it to the body. The gentleman is clearly trying to supply information to the body and is perfectly free to do so when speaking on his own, but this is not the proper forum for it.
The gentleman has posed a question. I suppose there's a question the lady's free to answer.
Mr. Speaker, I'll withdraw the question.
I think we're still, Representative Harrison, do you still wish to ask Representative Dixon? Actually, I believe Representative Dixon was asking you questions, so we can allow that to continue if you guys would like.
I would appreciate your enlightening me, Representative Dixon, because I actually don't know the figure associated with agriculture. As I said, my point was that it's a smaller piece of the whole greenhouse gas problem North Carolina faces. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Harrison. Mr. Speaker, I'll speak to the amendment.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
According to NC Policy Watch, in the article they produced, of all of the total greenhouse emissions in the United States, agriculture is responsible for 10% of it. Transportation, 29%, electricity, 25%, industry, 23%, commercial and residential, 13%. Really bothers me to see an industry that factually emits 10%, but it's the whipping boy all the time. As far as the amendment is concerned, I was surprised by the amendment. I had a conversation with Representative Smith, and we had a good discussion about Section 13 being taken out of the bill. And when I assured him that Section 13 was out of the bill, he was complimentary for that advice and indicated that he would be voting for the bill. I guess that's changed. Vote no on the amendment.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Iredell, Representative McNeely, rise?
To debate the amendment. The
gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think there's been a lot of misinformation given here just recently about the general permits and how they work. I actually at one time had a lagoon on a dairy farm that I owned, and so I experienced firsthand. And even with a general permit, you will be monitored at least once a year, if not more randomly. So let's make sure we understand everything that we're talking about. This general permitting is going to be a good thing. We have permits for all kind of different things right now under DEQ, but you will have to tailor your general permit to fit your farm. It's not just to check a box and you're good to go. This is actually how you're going to administer it. It's going to show where the waste is going to go. And believe me, it's really not waste. It's fertilizer. And we're never really going to be able to get rid of any kind of a storage solution as long as you put it on crops, because crops don't receive it every week. They receive it usually in between crops when you apply it to the land, because if you try to go out and forcibly apply the lagoon waste onto crops, you will more likely kill it. You will suffocate it. It's not necessarily a rain. So you got to understand it's seasonal. In the spring, it will be applied. In the late fall, early winter, it will be applied.
What purpose, gentleman from Dupin, Representative Dixon?
Point of order.
Gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of order.
Would the gentleman confine his remarks to the amendment that we're talking about?
I will. I suggest you vote no on the amendment. I don't think it's going to help the farm bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
To ask... no, not the bill sponsor. Yeah, bill sponsor our question.
Representative Dixon.
Representative Dixon.
Representative Dixon. Sorry, gentleman yield to a question from Representative Hawkins. Moment. Gentlemen, yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Yep. So what we've heard, thank you for answering the question. What we've heard from Representative Smith and others, Representative Harrison, is, you know, with these lagoons, there may be a need for more, with the permits, there may be more need for enforcement from DEQ. Are you familiar with the budget that is allotted to this effort, and are you willing to help increase it if need be to make sure that we get the type of enforcement that we need?
Yes, sir. I'm very familiar with the budget for DEQ. It goes through the Ag and Appropriations Committee, of which I'm chair, and we adequately fund them.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Gentlemen, you have two additional questions?
Yes, sir.
You said adequately to resolve any issues that come along with this, and if DEQ and our advocates say that we need to do more, are you willing to do so?
Absolutely. We consider all requests.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A1 set forward by Representative Smith. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 47 having voted in the affirmative and 60 in the negative, the amendment fails. We're now back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate on the bill. For what purpose the gentleman from Duplin, resident Dixon, rise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I'll be brief, as brief as I can. I believe that there were a lot of undecided votes. I've never been able to say that a lot of times on issues like this, but I actually believe that there was thorough discussion on some of these items. I have done more outreach on this particular bill than I have in the past, reaching across the aisle, talking to people, and trying to explain the bill and offering to explain the bill or to answer any questions. We had 3 ag committee meetings, 2 of them for information only. And I really want the governor to sign this bill. And in order for the governor to sign this bill and for the Senate to improve their vote over there, I need your votes. I want your votes. This is important to the agriculture community. I could have had the bill on the floor yesterday, but at a request for more information, more time to discuss it, I postponed the hearing of the bill today. So I've done the outreach. I've tried to talk with folks about their issues. Now, briefly on the bill as amended has 12 sections in it. To my knowledge, there is no controversy or opposition to any of the sections except Section 11, which we've had already a vigorous debate about it this morning. There has been a little bit of conversation from actually a couple of people on both sides of the aisle relative to Section 13, that was the labor laws things. And I was approached, where is the assurance that it won't come back? And I told some of you over there, you're looking at the assurance. Section 13 is out of the bill to remain out of the bill. So if that's a concern of anybody, that's my statement to you today. The general permit, this morning I understand that Ms. Joy Hicks came to the Minority Caucus and explained the general permit. This is an intensive situation. The general permit, there's about 24, 25, 26 other entities across the state of North Carolina who operate under a general permit. The purpose of that is for DEQ to be able to set standards, regulations, and then a permit requester proves that they fit those criterion categories. It's very intensive. There's nothing skipped over. So the general permit is an accepted way of doing business in a lot of different similar activities. The digester. Many of you went on a farm tour with me. I wish everybody could go out there and see the system. I took a group of people right up to the edge of the lagoon. Most of them, well, as a matter of fact, every one of them said that their perception was different after that trip than before that trip. You know, King Solomon listened to both sides. And I mean this respectfully. I don't mean this disrespectfully at all. I think today in your caucus, you heard one side, I understand, from a lady from Sampson County. I wish all of you had been in committee yesterday to hear Kenzie Lamb, that beautiful 15-year-old black young lady whose father and grandmother owned a farm, and heard her point of view about what the importance of the swine industry is to her. We know that ag is number one in the state. We may not know that livestock is 70% of our farm gate receipts. Turkeys, chickens, hogs, cows, etc. 70% of our gate receipts. Pork
supports 46,000 full-time jobs. Pork represents 44% of all the jobs in Bladen County. 44% of all the jobs in Bladen County. 10,000 jobs in Sampson and Duplin, full-time jobs, are supported by the pork industry. 80% of the 2,100 hog farms in North Carolina are owned by family farmers. Ladies and gentlemen, we live on our farms. I raised my grandchildren on our farms. My children were in my hog houses, in my turkey houses, helped me set up the sprayers on the fields. I can name you hundreds of other families who live on their farms. It really does hurt me not to hear opposition, but to hear unfair opposition about feces being sprayed on people's homes and stuff. That is not true. One last thing. This bill is a common sense approach to maintaining a safe, economical, sustainable supply of food. And ladies and gentlemen, food doesn't come from the grocery store. Please consider voting for this bill.
Mr. Court members, chair is going to direct that all messages sent from the House today, whether to the Senate or to the governor, be sent by special messenger. For what purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Majeed, rise?
Mr. Speaker, to speak to the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
I'm going to preface my statement. I'm from the great state of Mecklenburg, and my master's degree is in agriculture education. My specialty is animal science, and another specialty in animal research. So I'm proud to serve on the agricultural committee, and we've inherited a problem. And I'm a pragmatist, and we are here because of the absence of regulations and for decades that and past practices that lacked environmental protections. Open lagoons have led to overflows from hurricanes and groundwater contamination. Big problem. We're going to still have to deal with this. In discussion, the question was asked, will this bill improve the quality of life for people? I would say that yes, because we got a problem now, and if we don't start working on it, we're not going to get out of this quandary. I understand that there are 24 biogas operations now, with some 100 to be permitted. I think this is a move in the right direction. This will begin to address the odor situation and the groundwater problems. And again, we are here now with this situation, and I think that this bill will move us forward to address the serious environmental issues, that are confronting us today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For that reason, I'm supporting the bill.
For what purpose does the lady from Forsyth, Representative Baker, rise? Representative Dixon, does the gentleman yield for a question?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Representative Dixon, I am completely in uncharted water, so please indulge me as I ask you a few of these clarifying questions. Thank you for presenting the data concerning the emissions. Could you give me that information again? I think you said agriculture was 10% of the emissions impact. Could you tell me the other areas again, please?
Yes, ma'am, and I will provide you with a hard copy of this. agriculture is 10%, transportation is 29%, electricity is 25%, industry is 23%, commercial and residential is 13%. The heading is total U.S. greenhouse gas emissions by economic sector in 2019. And this is an article that was published in conjunction with other information published by Policy Watch, North Carolina.
May I ask the bill sponsor another question?
The gentleman yield to an additional question?
Yes, sir.
So, since that information was given in as a kind of an overall forecast for the emissions, was there any specific numbers as it is related to what that emissions looks like in the state of North Carolina?
Not in this article, but there is such data that I can provide for you.
Okay, and then one more question. I'm sorry.
Gentlemen, yield to an additional question.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
So did the report happen to mention at all in absence of or reduced presence of some of the other categories, such as if you're in a rural area, then you have sprawl in a sense that you don't have an intensity around development, the need for transportation in a broader way that you would in an urban setting. So was there some mention about in the absence or the reduction of some of those other areas, does it then increase so in this case, would the agriculture impact to the community and the environment be increased since agriculture would be in greater presence more so than, say, transportation or development or anything like that?
I think that's a very interesting and important question. That is not, as I understand your question, let's take Duplin County, for example.
Yes, sir.
Since we have a lot of agriculture, livestock agriculture in Duplin County, I believe your question is, would that percentage of emissions be greater in Duplin County?
Yes, sir.
The information that we've gotten so far, and we've had some test sites where they have the air monitors, the air in Duplin County is much cleaner than it is in Charlotte.
Okay. And may I ask two more questions?
Gentlemen, yield to an additional question.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
So as we were getting information, I understand that one of the larger hog farms, Smithfield, is owned by an international company. Has that company brought in any of, talked to anybody in the community, have some conversations around what the impact of the farm? I get that it's a big employer, but there also could be some unintended consequences. So have they done any kind of community outreach to have conversations with people who are close to those farms? And whether it's proven or not, their perception that those farms are creating health issues and environmental issues that are negatively affecting their community. Do we know of that at all?
Yes, ma'am. They do have quite an intensive outreach. As you know, there were a lot of number of lawsuits that were brought against the company, and those lawsuits have been settled.
Okay.
All 26 of them, with all 439 plaintiffs.
Okay, and then one more question. And thank
you. An additional question?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your patience. I heard you say that you took delegations out to the farms to see the lagoons. But was there any attempt to go and take those same delegations and create like town halls to talk to the people there? Because I think it's only fair if we get a both sides. Like you said today, you felt that it was very unfair only to get one side of the story. But all I heard today on the floor is just one side of the story. And for me, it would be important to also hear what some of the concerns are, not just the economic impact to those families that have jobs there. We definitely don't want to lose that. But if again, that there are some perceptions that we're causing some health issues or some things like that, we want to hear that as well, because we want the bill to be as balanced as possible. So are you aware of any delegations going in and meeting with the community?
Yeah, there's been quite a few folks that have come down. I think Representative Meyer came to Duplin County and went with some of the REACH folks down there. So, and I'll give this, I'll give you this invitation I gave last year. You contact me and come down to Duplin County, and we'll get in my truck, and you say go that way, and when you say stop, and we'll talk to somebody, I'll do that.
I'll bring my own truck, sir. But I'll take you up on the offer. Thank you so much.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson, arise?
To ask Representative Dixon a series of questions.
Representative Dixon, the gentleman yield for a question.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Representative Dixon, I thought I had these answered, but you recall several years ago we had a vigorous debate in this body about capping lagoons, and one of the positions, my position has always been, is that we really need to cap these lagoons. And does this bill and what they're doing now with capturing the gas, are they capping these lagoons now? Is that what that does?
Yes, sir.
Does it, does the technology...
Does the gentleman yield to a series of questions?
I do.
He yields to a series of questions. The gentleman's recognized to ask the questions.
Does capping these lagoons, the way they're doing it, does it help in abating the flooding that occurs when we have these hurricanes that dump all this rain in eastern North Carolina? Will that aid in reducing the flooding and the breach of these lagoons? Will that this capping reduce that?
That's an interesting question, Representative Richardson, and I'll have to answer it in two ways. When you have affluence or stuff like that, that's very unusual. I think your question is going towards this area. If you think about this, there's an uncovered lagoon out there right now. Whatever is happening with stuff going into the air is happening. If we put a cover on it, we're stopping that. There are many of us in the swine industry that think we have a great system already in place. But we recognize that incremental improvement has great opportunities. And so by capping these lagoons, whatever was being emitted is no longer being emitted, released. That's got to be an improvement. As to the flooding, anything in a 100-year floodplain cannot be generally permitted for these types of systems.
Does it assist and improve on the flooding, in your opinion?
In my opinion, yes, sir.
Does it assist and improve the overall smell?
Absolutely.
Is it a way to economically improve the condition of the farmers in those counties in terms of capturing this gas and selling?
Absolutely.
For someone that struggles with this and wants to help the farmer, but also wants to make sure we protect our water and our air quality, is this a step in the right direction toward doing that?
Yes, sir.
Debate the bill. The
gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
2 years ago, we had a vigorous, intense debate over the lawsuits that were in federal court about this. And I disagreed with Representative Dixon at that time very vigorously. I contended that the lagoons ought to be capped. I contended that other states required that and that we should do so. Whereas I don't feel that this is the capping that is the ultimate solution. I think it's a step in the right direction. I've struggled with this, but I really believe when you weigh everything, when you weigh the importance of protecting the farmers in eastern North Carolina, when you weigh to trying to improve the water quality, when you weigh all the factors in this thing, I really believe that this bill is a step in the right direction. And because of that, I'm going to vote for the bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Iredale, Representative McNeely, rise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
And I'm going to try to stay on point and make sure I talk about the bill. So I just let it all know that. There's a lot of things in this bill, more so than just Section 11. 13, we've taken out. We've tried to make this bill doable. No bill's perfect. So I think if you're looking for that, you're never going to be satisfied with any bill that comes along. But this bill is really good. It helps a lot of people. It helps people whether they're red or they're blue or whatever color they may be, because all are involved in agriculture. Agriculture is one of the businesses that every ethnicity is in. Because we need agriculture because we like to eat. It takes that to survive. So I hope you won't listen to some of the groups out there that are talking about the environment and how this is bad, because their solution is to get rid of the lagoons completely, which means get rid of the animals completely. That's not a solution. We must find a compromise. This bill is a compromise. It's technology that's come about. So to say that this is bad is leading you in the wrong path. You will be on the wrong side of history when you look back if you don't realize technology is here and utilize it. We utilize it every day in agriculture so that we can stay profitable and we can survive. I ask you, I beg you, please vote for this bill. North Carolina needs its number one industry to get a bill like this. Please help us.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To briefly debate the bill.
Ladies recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I promised not to speak, but I failed to acknowledge Chair Dixon's efforts to work with the opposition, to the folks who are opposed to the bill, to improve the Section 11. And so I wanted to give you credit for that, because you worked closely with DEQ and resolved a lot of their concerns, and I really appreciate that, because you didn't have to. And I do appreciate all the hearings you had. I tried to get to most of those. I don't sit on ag. I do think there was some concern that not enough of the community members were able to get up to speak, but I do appreciate your accommodating them, and I appreciate your not rushing the bill through and giving us some more time. So I wanted to acknowledge that, because I failed to in my debate on the amendment. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Pitt, Representative Smith, rise?
To debate the bill.
Ladies recognized.
Thank you so much. I represent farmers in my district, but I also represent neighbors who live adjacent to these farms. I cannot support one without supporting the other, especially when the health and safety begins to be an issue. I'm truly concerned. We've heard many of the issues that were already addressed today. This bill adversely affects the minority population, and it is not inclusive of addressing those concerns. That's unacceptable. I did receive this map, which talked about the biogas pipeline and where they could be potentially be placed. And when I looked at the census tract, it was very alarming to see that these possible pipelines will be placed in minority communities. From 50 to 75% of them can be placed in the minority communities. So that means they're probably not placed right next door to any of you. It was some reference made to the whipping boy, and it happens to be the farms. Well, unfortunately, the whipping boy happens to be the neighbors, those neighbors who look like me. So it is key that we make sure that when we are coming to the table and we're talking about compromise, we need to make sure we're including all parties. And that's what we're concerned about. Do I like eggs and bacon? Absolutely. Do I support my farmers? 100%. But do I also support my neighbors? Yes. When we start to look at economics over health, then that can be an issue. There was a reach made out to Smithfield Farms to meet with the neighbors, and it was denied. That's not the type of way that we make a compromise. So we know that we can't make all of these improvements at one time, and they need to be made over a period of time, but that means with all parties. So we cannot leave these individuals behind. That is a serious concern for me. Thank you so much.
Further discussion or debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of the House Committee Substitute to Senate Bill 605 on a second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Speaker Moore, aye. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 74 having voted in the affirmative and 32 in the negative. Senate Bill 605 is passed its second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly, not signed an act.
The question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 605 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
The ayes have it. And Senate, the House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 605, having passed its third reading, will be returned to the Senate. House Bill 335. Clerk will read.
Representatives Bradford, Rydell, Hardister, and Sane, House Bill 335, a bill to be entitled an act to revise requirements regarding the transfer of funds from local school administrative units to charter schools to incentivize a timely transfer of funds. General Assembly of North Carolina acts.
General from Mecklenburg, Representative Bradford is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move for a concurrence vote for House Bill 335, Senate Committee Substitute.
Representative Bradford has moved for a concurrence to the House Committee Substitute. The House, Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 335. The gentleman's recognized to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, we voted on this bill 117-2. It went to the Senate. It had a minor change, which I supported. It came back with a 50-0 vote. So I encourage you to vote green. Thank you.
What purpose of the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick Rice?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
The gentleman yield to a question?
I do.
He yields.
Would you detail the change that was made?
Happy to. There was a penalty payment of 5%, and in the Senate it was reduced to 3%.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman's recognized.
Charter schools. I'm going to give my speech again about charter schools. And it's this. The public schools. Charter schools are public schools for the most part. And that means they use public money. Now, in our public schools, we require and demand diversity. We set a standard and we make them comply. Sometimes a pain in the butt for them. But they do it.
Speaker, Mr. Speaker.
But the charter school.
One minute, Representative Jones. Representative Bradford, you're recognized.
Point of order. We're talking about late payments to charter schools, so I was just curious.
Yeah,
where the member was going.
And the chair would, again, just simply say, ask the gentleman to keep his remarks based upon what's in the bill that's before the body. The gentleman continues to have the floor.
I thought I was speaking to the bill. All right. So, as I was saying about charter schools, the charter schools are public schools for the most part, and they use public money. I think charter schools should be held to the same standard as the regular public schools are when it comes to integration and people who are in the charter schools. And so that's my concern about charter schools. It's almost like nobody talks about it. But I think they could reach out better to all communities. That's all I'm saying. And they're not doing it right now. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate? If not, the question before the House is the motion to concur with the Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 335. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Speaker Moore, aye. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 99 having voted in the affirmative and 6 in the negative. Motion passes and the bill will be ordered enrolled and sent to the governor.
Per the earlier order, too, that message will be sent by special messenger. What purpose the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman Rice?
For motion.
Gentleman's recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With apologies to Mr. White and his staff and to the body,
I move that Rule 24C be suspended in order to allow me to be recorded as voting aye on the adoption of the conference report on Senate Bill 116, Putting North Carolina Back to Work Act, which we voted on yesterday.
Members, this was the similar matter that we made an exception for earlier in session for another member to change the vote the day after. The gentleman did reach out to the chair and advise he wanted to do that. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Hardister is recognized to send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Hardister, Education University Committee Report. House Bill 707, student borrows a Bill of Rights. Favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reads the bill and we refer to banking.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar of the committee substitute, it's referred to the committee on banking. House Bill 602, the clerk will read.
Representatives Hardister, Pickett, Arp, and Candace Smith. House Bill 602, a bill to be entitled UNC Legislative Priorities, HR Reports, General Assembly of North Carolina Acts.
The gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur with the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 602.
President Hardister moves the House to concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 602. The gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, if this bill looks familiar to you, that's because we voted on this several weeks ago. The first four sections of the bill were actually part of this bill, House Bill 602, that passed unanimously. What happened is, you may recall, House Bill 243, which also related to the UNC system, that bill ended up in a conference committee. What we did is we actually extracted three of the four sections of House Bill 243 and placed that in House Bill 602. That's what the Senate did. They basically combined the two bills. Very briefly, because the bill is substantive, I'll walk through it. What it does is it consolidates and eliminates various reports in the UNC system. It codifies capital project reporting requirements, streamlines reduction of force procedures and severance payments with non-state funding. It allows the system to cover state health plan payments for employees on furlough, and it authorizes a temporary early retirement incentive program. I'm not aware of any opposition. This is an agency request. It did pass the Senate on unanimous vote, and I appreciate your green vote today. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion to concur of the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 602. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. McNeely, how would you like to be recorded? McNeely, aye. Representative Bell, aye. The clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 106 having voted in the affirmative and none of the negative. The House does concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 602. Bill will be ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Representative Bumgarner, the gentleman from Gaston, the chair is aware that the gentleman wishes to be recorded as having voted aye on the farm bill. Is that correct?
Yes,
Mr. Speaker. Gentleman be recorded as having voted aye on the farm bill. For what purpose, the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick Rise?
To be recorded as aye on 335.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill 335. For what purpose, the gentleman from Union, Representative R. Price?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized. Speak to a point of personal privilege.
For centuries, white hair has been a symbol of wisdom. Proverbs 16:31 says, white hair is a crown of glory and is seen most among the godly. I have someone next to me that I promise not to refer to and mention a birthday or something like that. I don't know. But he is a godly and wise man, and I want you to join with me in congratulating my seatmate Donnie on his birthday.
Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell, rise?
For a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow's Friday, June 25th, and it was 39 years ago that a young lady named Polly Jo Hankins and I joined the throng of other June brides and June grooms and were married. And I just want to say happy anniversary to my beloved wife. She also serves as a great legislative assistant. I know for a fact I would not be where I am or have the blessings I enjoy had I not married Polly. So these few verses in closing, grow old along with me, the best is yet to be. The last of life for which the first was made, our times are in his hand. Thank you.
Congratulations. What purpose the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I sat here today, I was just reminded that years do go by. It seems, and in fact, I know that it was just 20 years ago that then Clerk Denise Weeks came to my desk, seat 82, to announce to me that I had a new grandson. That was 20 years ago. His birthday is tomorrow, and I just wanted to say happy birthday to my grandson, who was recently a page here on his 20th birthday.
Thank you. Congratulations, sir. Members, for your planning purposes, of course, we have concluded our calendar for the day and for the week. We will have votes next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. There will be no votes on Monday, so Monday session will be a no-vote session. We should be receiving the budget from the Senate on either today or Monday. We'll determine if we need to have a Friday session to receive it, but at this point, the chair is actually anticipating a Monday session to do so. And then our chairs will start moving forward. Members should expect to see, I think, appropriations area chair meet notices for meetings next week. So we'd encourage members to be here and to participate fully in those as we move through the budget. It will take the House several weeks to get this budget done. Again, the ball is now just going to be coming to our court, so we'll get our chance to significantly improve on what the Senate sends us. And so we'll do that. And so that's not something that we can do in a week or 2 weeks. It's going to take several weeks, and it's going to take the chair's an opportunity to do that. And frankly, I want to see as much participation from every single member of this House as possible in that process. And hopefully we'll have a budget that can pass out of here 120-0. That certainly is the goal of this chair. So we'll see if we get there, but that certainly is the goal. So members should anticipate appropriations to meet very diligently next week. I expect it will be a full week once things move Tuesday. Committee chairs, you are authorized to have meetings on Monday. So any committee chairs that wish to do so are certainly welcome to do so. But we would anticipate we are going to be taking up other bills Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Undetermined if we'll have session Friday of next week. I don't believe we will, but be aware for notice on that later in the week in case we need to resolve some matters. With that, any further notices or announcements? For what purpose the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardest, to rise?
The House Education Appropriations Committee will meet next Tuesday, 8:30 a.m. to review the Senate budget. Watch your inbox for meeting location.
For what purpose the gentleman from Currituck, Representative Hannig, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Local government will meet next Tuesday at 1 p.m., 1228.
For what purpose the lady from Johnston, Representative White, rise?
For an announcement.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Health Appropriations will meet at 10 on Tuesday, and I'm assuming it'll be 6:43, but I'm not confirmed on that yet. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles, rise?
Announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you. The Appropriation and Justice Public Safety, we will meet Wednesday at 9 o'clock in our regular room at 415. Wednesday at 9 to go over the Senate budget with staff. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from New Hanover? Representative Davis, rise.
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, Judiciary 1 will meet next Tuesday, so be looking for a notice that will tell you what bills will be heard and what time and place. Thank you very much.
Representative Davis, could the gentleman approach the dais, please? Representative Davis, is the gentleman wishing to be recorded as having voted aye on the concurrence vote on House Bill 335?
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
The gentleman will be so recorded. Any further notices, announcements, or administrative matters before I take a motion? Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House to now adjourn and reconvene Monday, June 28th at 4 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Bell, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Monday, June 28th at 4 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned. On motion of the chair, House Bill 916, short title Wastewater Advanced Treatment Units, that bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Appropriations. See referral to rules is stricken. Bill is recommitted to the Committee on Environment, and see referrals to appropriations and rules are added back. Senate Bill 360, short title Prohibit Collusive Settlements by the Attorney General, that bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Rules, recommitted to Judiciary 1, see referral to rules is added. Senate Bill 301, Expand Expunction Eligibility, withdrawn from rules, recommitted to Judiciary 1, zero for all the rules added. Senate Bill 300, Criminal Justice Reform, withdrawn from the Committee on Rules, recommitted to Judiciary 1, zero for all the rules added. Senate Bill 493, JDIG, Multi-Location Projects Modifications, withdrawn from the Committee on Rules, recommitted to Commerce, zero for all the rules added. The enrolling clerk reports the following bill duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 116, an act to withdraw from the federal pandemic unemployment compensation and the mixed earners unemployment compensation agreement to appropriate to the Department of Health and Human Services the sum of $250 million from the Child Care Development Block Grant under the American Rescue Plan to require individuals to respond to employers' requests and to make administrative changes to the unemployment insurance laws. Chapter bills will be noted.
On motion of the chair, Senate Bill 493, short title, JDIG Multi-Location Projects Modifications, as serial referral to rules is stricken and serial referrals to the Committee on Appropriations and rules are re-added to the bill. On motion of the chair, Senate Bill 269, short title, Flexibility in Filling Vacancies, Durham, withdrawn from the Committee on Rules, recommitted to Elections, serial referral to Rules is added. Senate Bill 425, GAP and VVPA agreement changes, withdrawn from the Committee on Rules, recommitted to the Committee on Commerce, serial referral to Rules added.